You're listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network on bingemedia.net. And now, Wake and Bake with Bob Ross.
Hello, I'm Bob Ross. I'll be your host as we experience the joy of painting.
From bingemedia.net, it's Wake and Bake with Bob Ross.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Wake and Bake with Bob Ross. I am Jack. You know, right on the other side is Kupka. What's up, man?
What is going on, sir?
Hey, the huge. You know what I'm saying? A little bit of the fucking huge this week. We're here. It's Bob Ross time. It's been a while. It's always been a while, you know, but I think that's what keeps it fresh. So,
yes.
All right. We're going to jump right in, I think. We're going season 18, episode 6. Yeah, not much else to it, Kupka. If you're game, I'm good to go here.
Yep.
All right. Let's go. And again, season 18, episode 6. We're going to go 3, 2, 1 and go. All right,
so off the hop, I'd like to just give a quick BMFML update, because we're hitting the big time season portion of our year.
Yeah, if any of that was correct English or grammar for that matter.
Avengers Infinity War opened up like gangbusters, like we all assumed. Week 1 and week 2, first and second place. This is week 3 as we record this, which it should take again. Right before Deadpool opens up next week. We all know everyone's thoughts on Infinity War, so we're not going to get into that. Deadpool, sir, what do you think? There's some positive buzz coming out recently after some apparent reshoots and things that weren't going well, according to some folks. What you think there? You got any worries or concerns?
I don't have any worries or concerns about Deadpool. We haven't talked about this on air, but I'm fucking... I saw Infinity War. Saw it 3 times. Loved it. Looking forward to watching it in my own home when it comes out. I was immensely fucking pissed off at Marvel, because not only did I pick Paul Rudd in the BMFML, I got Ant-Man in the Deathpool. Fuck you, Marvel. Fuck you right to hell, you fucking cocksuckers. He was in the goddamn cast list up until the fucking Friday when the movie came out. You fucking assholes. But that being said, yeah, Deadpool looks pretty good.
Well,
like, I
would have
taken Josh
that.
Brolin. You know what I mean? Like, Josh Brolin would have been... He was on my list. I chose Paul Rudd over Josh Brolin. Fuck me, right?
I applaud them for doing that, because what it did is mask some possible spoilers, I feel. But at the same time, I was actually worried, because I too thought I had chosen Paul Rudd, but that was not the case. So
great. Good for you. Good for everyone.
But I am second guessing not picking Josh Brolin at this point, because I feel like he may have some severe points with that and fucking Infinity War being on at the same time. So,
well, he's gonna have, you know, it's funny, hindsight is 2020, right? But he's got Infinity War, he's got Deadpool, and he's got Soldado, and that alone should have him in the top 10 with at least one film from here to fucking October, I would think.
Possible.
It was a dumb move on my part, but live and learn.
Yeah, it is what it is.
So, just a quick rundown of where we're at standing-wise. Over there in the Banderos Conference, we have in the Hard Taco Division, number 1 and 2 is alternately Logan James with 317 and Julian Luckhurst right behind him with Baba's Dick Picks at 310. Stuart Bach, 352 in the Sasquatch Division, and yours truly is right behind him at 300. I'm creeping. Chad D, 400 over in the Yatos division, with Adrian Logiantara right behind him with Mystic Science Ninja Team Go Binger, still one of the greatest fucking team names alive. And I forgot to mention something. In the bottom, last place, that's the where Chad C resides in the Sasquatch division, nice. 240 points. So suck a dick there, Chad. Suck a dick. Baba Dick Conference in the Up All Night division. We have Nate Peterson kicking ass with 413 points. Right behind him is Billy Good Times, and by right behind him, I mean almost 100 points behind him with 318. So Nate's just doing what Nate does, as he showed us last year. So good for you, Nate. Sneaky Juan Carlos, first place over in the soft taco division with 397. Right behind him, Anthony Del Vecchio with Cajunado with 336. And then in the Crash Bang Wallop division, we have Ryan Metkovich with 339. And right behind him, and I mean literally right behind him, so I'd watch it for this guy, PJ the Intern. And Wintern is here with 330. So PJ picking up right where he left off last season. So a lot of fun. A lot of movies left, a lot of summer left. It's just now, the third weekend in May? So we got a long ways to go, but it should be a fun one.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And, this is next week starts summer movie season, and all that should be pretty good. There's a few blockbusters that I'm looking forward to, so yeah. So it's been, I want to say a month or two since the last Wake and Bake, but something interesting has come out for PSVR. I don't know if you saw this or not, but they released an app called Cool Painter VR. I don't know if it's the first, but it's certainly the first for PlayStation. But it's a three-dimensional painting app. So you go into the VR, you use the Move controllers as paint sticks, and you can make your own creations in virtual space as a 3D painting. And then I believe you can upload them to a GIF and then, you know, save them somewhere, which is kind of cool.
And then send them to a 3D modeling printer and then have them actually exist in real life.
Yeah, you probably could. I mean, technology's there, right? So I don't know if they've streamlined that process or not, but really fucking cool idea. I think there's a subreddit dedicated to it. I know that I've seen a bunch of stuff on r/PSVR, but I wouldn't be surprised if somebody decides to make a Bob Ross imitation in there. I think that's just a matter of time, really, but...
That would be amazing.
Yeah, pretty cool stuff though. A lot of people were doing game inspired art. Somebody did a mock up of a knight sitting at one of the bonfires in Dark Souls, and it looked really good. A little bit.
What is the subreddit?
I think it's in r/PSVR. It was either there or in r/PS4. It's one or the other. But yeah, very cool. And starting to step into the realm of VR stuff that I'm most interested in, right? Like actually interacting with a 3D environment in, like, tracking you in real space, you know?
That is a badass Dark Souls creation. I like that. I mean, especially because it's a new technology, and I can only imagine what the response is like when you're using it, but that's pretty fucking dope.
Yeah. There was that. I think there was one for Nier Automata. I think someone else did a Shadow of the Colossus, but really cool stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Big
good shit.
So in the fucking monthly poster check-in, looks like HCG Art had a fucking Mystery Tube sale, and I believe both of us bid on it, correct? You got one?
We did. I don't know. I know we talked about it off air, but they're one of your favorite galleries just because of their customer service and how the site works. And I happened to peruse the site a couple weeks ago and saw a banner at the top, small banner, but a noticeable banner nonetheless, that said, hey, you know, if you want to know ahead of time of when our Mystery Tubes are going on sale, give us your email. I'm like, oh, you know, why the fuck not? Yep. So sure enough, I get an email saying, hey, going to go on sale. How many do you want? This is the limit. You get to buy ahead of time. I was like, fucking A. So yeah, that's how I got mine. You ended up going just through the site, or you ended up doing the same thing a little later?
I did the same thing just a day or two later. Really nice. for me, traditionally, May and June are very busy months with parties and graduations and all kinds of shit. So I really shouldn't have bought a mystery tube. But, you know, I remember the last time they had a mystery tube sale. And just for people who are not in the know here. So the different poster warehouses, they have different, you know, all different artists commission posters or pieces of art. And they'll have a specific run of that piece of art. So, you know, they'll have we've talked about it before, but when they get to a point, it seems like, I don't know, maybe seasonally, a couple times a year.
Yeah. Definitely Christmas, and it seems now spring as well.
Yep. I think what they do is they basically say, okay, of all the remaining stock that we have of these specific runs of posters, instead of charging, you know, $50 for one of the posters, we'll charge you $60 plus shipping. We'll throw somewhere between two and, I don't know, I've even seen up to like five posters in tubes randomly, and we'll send them out. So they sell it as a mystery tube, so you have no idea what you're going to get. But a lot of the time, you know, depending on the poster warehouse, typically if you buy from certain ones over a course of time, they have certain artists that work for them regularly. Or let's say in the past year, there was a lot of stuff that you liked that they came out with. There's a decently high chance that you'll get something that you either like or want out of a mystery tube from a place like HCG Art.
Yes.
You know, another guy, Robert Bruno, the guy who Kupka collects all of his Marvel stuff. He does mystery tubes. I got my Joker piece out of his mystery tube. That was a win on its own, you know, fully embellished with the acrylic inks and shit.
And that's usually the thing. I mean, the cost you're going to pay, or the price you're going to pay for one tube is essentially the cost of one print. And like you said, then that's the reason I bought it. There's enough stuff from them that I definitely want that one of them's bound to be in there.
Right.
And some of our, I mean, Vance Kelly's one of the artists out of there and I love his shit. So anything by him would be a fucking win.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I've got a few of his, I have his Apocalypse Now. And I bought the Lord of the Rings one, the Fellowship one that he just put out. I'm hoping he completes that trilogy because I've always wanted a nice Lord of the Rings trilogy of posters.
I want his tombstone badly.
He's got a great tombstone. Bruno's got a great tombstone. I think Alexander Icarino has a good one too, if memory serves. But yeah, so those are already shipped. It says mine's coming in on the 14th, so that's pretty exciting. And
mine's not showing any info, which I'm a little concerned about.
Mine's not showing any info on the tracking, but on the email it says the 14th. So maybe but in any case, pretty good stuff, man. Pretty excited. And you know, the worst thing that can happen with that is you get a couple prints that maybe you won't hang on the wall or you don't like. You can put those up for trade or sale in the groups that we're members of, and you can either, you know, pocket that money or put them towards prints that you actually want. So,
yep,
it's not really much of a gamble in my opinion, but
or hold it. You know, they make great gifts as well.
That's true. My Robert Bruno mystery tube, I ended up gifting, I think both of the other prints that were in there for Christmas presents. So. And both of the people who got them were, like, stunned by them. So, really good shit.
So, and I lucked out and got a Night of the Living Dead variant glow-in-the-dark print the other day that almost immediately sold out. So, I'm really stoked about that. So, that tells me that the price immediately went up. So,
yeah. I will say this, man, though. Very strange that there was almost nothing for Infinity War in terms of commissioned posters.
Well, that released or because there may have been more that were commissioned, but I think for some reason I feel a lot of people wanted to wait to see the movie and finish it. Because I know like the one that Bruno did, he saw it and then mentioned like, all right, you know, now I got the inspiration of how I want to finish it. And it's like, well, You got enough there, don't you? Or do you really want to do scenes from the movie? Like, that's what I don't understand. Yeah.
I mean, I wonder if it's tied somehow to how much Disney locks down what they let out. Because, so looking at this Andy Park painting The first poster that they put out last year at Comic-Con, that I sent you a post about this. It's pretty impressive when you, after having seen the movie, this is an Infinity War spoiler for anybody who still hasn't seen it, but the amount of subtle spoilers in this painting that this guy made a year ago. I mean, he has pretty much all the costumes down. Hawkeye does appear in here, which is a little strange. So that kind of makes me think that maybe he was in the movie at some point. But
he was mentioned.
Yeah, but so is Ant-Man, and he's not here. Like, they mention Hawkeye and what's-his-name in the same scene.
No, that's true.
But if you look at the Avengers symbol, it's disintegrating. Like, that's a troll. That's a fucking amazing troll right there, if you think about it. You know, Thor, if you look at Thor, he's got both his eyes, even though one's not showing fully. That's curious, right? I mean, it's interesting.
Yeah, and you just mentioned on a previous podcast about how in one of the trailers, the way it was cut was he had the eye patch on, so you didn't know that he didn't have both eyes when you saw the movie. So
right. That was that Thor Ragnarok trailer. It was like the money shot at the end.
Yeah.
But there's all kinds of stuff like that. So I'm thinking that maybe that's part of it. Maybe Disney and Marvel, they just locked everything down until after the movie was released. But it just seems strange that, like, there isn't a Tyler Stout poster for this. Like, of all the poster artists, this is a movie tailor-made for the way Tyler Stout makes a poster. It's just weird that he hasn't, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's going to be that epic when it releases. They're starting to finally come down the pipeline, but...
They've been trickling. I mean, we've seen some stuff. Yeah. It looks like, you know, just stuff some artists made independently. There was the one that the staff of the movie got, the whole crew. But yeah, so I don't know. We'll see. But...
Yeah, I was super stoked, and I did receive the Thanos that Bruno did, and that is fucking amazing. So
I think I'm going to have to buy that. That's one of his best from what I've seen.
I will have to say, do you plan on getting them all? Well, even if you do plan on getting them all, this one, I would have gotten embellished.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like,
especially because it's the villain series, and so it would have been a kind of a separate set. I may have to double dip on this one.
I don't think I'm going to go as far as getting all of the Marvel ones that he's made, but there are a few that I'd like. I'm still floating around maybe getting that Captain America. Just like, I don't know why I can't pull the trigger. Maybe that's just, you know.
All right, folks, mark my words. I say this now. As long as I have the other four that I'm fucking waiting on. But when you arrive to my humble abode this July and you see in person all of them that I have, I feel your tune changing.
Possibly. It's just, see, my whole thing is I Walls? Really like, well, here's what I'm saying. Like, I really like Bruno's style, and I think he is one of the best that I've seen. But I like so many other artists that I wouldn't be able to put a ton of Bruno up knowing that, like, I don't have...
You want a mixed artist base.
Yeah, like, I'm sitting in a room right now. I've got the Gabs Fargo. Oh, my Fargo poster came in. I don't know if I showed you that one or not, but that one is fucking awesome. I believe
you did.
Yeah. Dude, that it's surreal owning this one because this was one of the first ones that I actually had a print made way back in the day when I found out that this was a thing. This is like going back 5-6 years. The fact that I own it now is like, I don't know, it's an interesting signpost of the times, you know, but...
That's actually a really good... I don't remember this movie at all, and like I said before, I need to revisit it, but that's a badass poster from what I remember.
Yeah.
What I've, you know, picked up along the years. That's awesome. Yeah. That's a good one.
But, you know, I'm sitting in a room right now. I'm surrounded by Mike Madak behind me. I've got a couple Jerry Pesci glow-in-the-dark prints of, like, Pickle Rick and Doctor Strange. I've got my Robert Bruno over there, Carl Fitzgerald, Fury Road. I just like having it mixed. A lot of different stuff on the walls. I've got a print of the Jason Edmiston Evil Dead 2, which is an all-time fucking classic that I gotta own someday. But, Yeah, I just like variety. I like the ability to swap them out with the spotlight display frames. And as much as I love all of Bruno's stuff, I would want to have the ability to swap them here and there.
Right.
And, you know, I do love that Vision print. The Steve Rogers print is great. I mean, none of them are bad. I haven't seen one that I wasn't impressed with. So I think it just comes down to, you know, personal preference of who I would want. And at this time of all of them, I've got Yondu already. And, you know, Thanos would kind of be the guy. So we'll see.
Yeah, you're definitely going to want that one.
Yeah. But we have a commission coming too. So I'm curious to see what's in that before I make a decision.
I'm sure they're all going to be there.
Yeah. So we'll see. But yeah.
So I'm actually surprised. I just happened to stumble upon the Gabs Escape from New York that he did.
Yes.
And it's not as expensive as I would have expected. It ranges, but it's reasonable.
He's got a good one. And then if I remember correctly, Martin Anson has a really good Escape from New York.
And you're obviously going to pay more for the lower numbers, right?
You know,
or does that even matter?
I don't know if it matters that much. I think the only time I've seen people pay up for numbers is like if they're trying to collect all the same number. Yeah, like the Tyler Stout Star Wars set or the Phantom City Creative Back to the Future or something like that. But
so since the assholes are probably getting picked up on my mic now, I came home last night and there was some broken glass on my floor.
Yeah.
And I will say that it wasn't from a glass. And there's really only other one kind of glass that I keep down in my basement.
Oh, man.
She chewed it.
Oh, my God.
Like, I don't understand how I didn't come to find a pile of blood afterwards. Like, it's the most bizarre thing. But, yeah so I have to go find a new container of water. And thankfully it was just, you know, small $20 purchase, but still.
Yeah. Oh, I have something to talk to you about that when we're off air. So
I love the color palette on fucking painting.
I was just going to say,
here are amazing.
Very much a classic Bob Ross here. Nothing too fancy. Trees coming in.
He has a foreground to push that mountain back a little bit.
Such a deft hand.
Yep. It's almost like he's done this a whole bunch of times.
Yeah. Who'd have thunk? So, Kupka, what are you playing for games these days? I mean, I know you and I go back and forth a little bit on shit, but you diving into anything?
I'm contemplating what I want to do with my today, but I put a little pause on Assassin's Creed because I found a particular program that allows me to play certain PlayStation games. Mm. And I went in revisiting currently the first God of War.
Yeah.
Because I want to be able to play 4 in a little bit.
Yeah.
And goddamn, I forgot how much fun and how difficult the game is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good time. Story holds up. Brutal as fuck.
Yeah.
Titties.
Yeah.
It's good shit.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Other than that, not a whole hell of a lot. Oh, I've started a Destiny 2 expansion. Played the first level of that. That's pretty good. I'm enjoying it so far.
Not bad. Not bad. Yeah, I hit the new God of War.
Hit it hard, I heard, too.
Yeah, man. I'm still working my way through the collectibles at the end. But, it's a 10 on 10. Sony is so far ahead of Xbox in terms of exclusives. It's not even funny. And I say that, you know, without bias one way or the other. I own both consoles, you know. I enjoy both consoles. But, man, I just think of the last few years of Sony games that I've played, and it's The Last of Us, it's Uncharted, it's Horizon Zero Dawn. At one point it was Neo, now that's on PC. You know, now it's God of War, The Last Guardian. I mean, the list goes on. They fucking focus on making great single player games with good stories and amazing experiences. And I just wish that Microsoft would catch up a little bit, you know?
Yeah, I don't understand it at all. And you brought that up off air to me recently, and I looked, and I'm like, this is ridiculous. Like, yeah. Yes, I love the cross-compatible shit, like your Assassin's Creed and things like that, but
absolutely,
the only exclusives that really are anything are Halo and Gears of War, and that's what they've relied upon for years.
Right.
And it sucks.
Yeah. I mean, Sea of Thieves came out a couple months ago. It was a failure. It's not a good game. It's just not.
No.
It's barely a game, to be completely honest with you. And this was a title that was talked about for 4 years before it came out. Promises up the wazoo. And it releases, and it's basically a pirate sim without any progression systems, without any, like, objective. It's just,
to me, it felt like Monster Hunter, but on the open seas.
I think that was the intent, but man, did they fuck that up.
Yeah, I never really got into it at all. I started it and never even got out on the ocean.
I got out on the ocean, was immediately thrown into the brig by whoever else was on my ship, and then I just couldn't get out. So I stood there and played the accordion for a little while and then said, fuck this. Like, what am I doing? And, you know, it's just nothing. And then you contrast that with something like God of War, which, you know, there's such a fucking identity to that game. The new one,
right,
I'm speaking of, it, you know, it starts and the whole game is one continuous shot from Kratos's perspective. Like, they never cut away. That's fucking incredible. Like, just the foresight for that. And you know, the boss battles and the gameplay, the story, I mean, the world building's incredible. There's this really cool and kind of unique, plot device in the game that gives you information. I'm talking around it. When you play it, you'll see what I mean. But it's very clever. It's totally built into the mythology, as it always is. And it's just, it's so good and so satisfying. I wish Microsoft would do something like this for Gears of War or Halo. Like, reinvent the way that God of War did and make it something new, make it more modern. Make it fresh, or just make it good, you know? I mean,
did you just see how many trees he just created?
That was
with
ridiculous.
Those... Okay.
That was maybe a minute of brushwork.
Every year I wait, and every year it's just the same shit with, you know, the next sequel of something that's on both platforms.
Yeah.
And it does piss me off. Like, what the fuck? They've had all these failures. I don't understand how it keeps happening. And that we've seen something that is possibly what's coming from E3 this year. But it doesn't have me that excited. Like, the only thing that has me excited is the Final Fantasy VII Remake, because everyone fucking speaks highly of that game. I've never played it because I wasn't a PlayStation person.
True.
And so that kind of has me geeked. But other than that, there's no new IPs.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man. Well, before we continue with that conversation, we have another episode of The Joy of Painting. So it's season 26, episode 11. Kupka, let me know when you're good.
Well, I don't know that I'll truly be good because it's one of those border paintings, but we'll get to that. I'm ready to go.
All right. Well, let's do it in 3, 2, 1, and go. I mean, it could be worse. We could have a guest host, you know. That's really...
Ooh, don't say things like that.
Oh, man.
I actually blocked that out of my mind until you brought it. So thanks for that.
There you go. But yeah, so actually lately I've been... I've been doing a lot of work in front of my computer, kind of reorganizing a lot of the file structure of some of my hard drives and stuff. I've been doing a lot of batch processing stuff, converting books and things like that. So I've been trying to think of games that I have on my backlog on my PlayStation that are just easy to get through, or games that I have from back in the day that I lost the trophies on because I had to change my gamer tag at some point. So one of them, after I finished
God of War... You had to do that for PlayStation too?
So I did it for PlayStation, and I can't remember the reason why, but I couldn't access my old account. So I just, back in the day, didn't pay attention to this shit. You know? That was just my fault. But yeah, so after I was finished with God of War, I was like, hey, I have God of War 3. So, so I immediately jumped into that and plowed through it in like 2 days. And that still fucking holds up. Still brutal as fuck. Story's awesome. Action is amazing. Scale is fantastic. It's just, it's great. It's still great.
Nice. I'm excited because I'm going on a run. And you and I talked about it a little bit. We plan on doing kind of a retrospective after I make my way through all four of them. So
yeah,
keep a lookout for that, folks.
Nice.
So he's got a pre-painted canvas and a border. Motherfucker's just, I don't know what he's trying to do to me here.
Oh, boy. Well, we've got black canvas. We've got a nice
blue. It's blue, man.
Yeah.
He's using white to bring out the blue.
Yeah, yeah. Gotcha, gotcha.
Crazy.
Interesting.
I'll trust him, though.
Yeah, of course. That's what we do here. So,
we're coming up on the official summer season here in a couple weeks. What are you looking forward to most this summer besides Lollapalooza 2018, July 27th through 29th, Chicago, Illinois?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's number one on the list. It's not even close, but a lot of little things, man. Hoping to snag some cheap Pearl Jam tickets. I mean, I, you know, Elton John's my priority, but Pearl Jam is definitely on the list. If I can find them cheap enough, that's worth the trip to Fenway, especially. It's, you know, a lot of good shows there over the summer. There's a Foo Fighters show, too, but I'm not a big Foo Fighters guy, so, you know, I'm not, like, clamoring for that. Honestly, man, I feel like we live in a really unique time right now, because being that we're fans of movies and TV and games and music and all this stuff, there is something almost every week from here to like September, you know? Whether it's Deadpool 2 is going to be in theaters, or we're getting a new season of whatever. I mean, there's just a lot of stuff to look forward to. So yeah, I don't really have anything specific on the docket, man. I'm just kind of, so to speak, riding the wave right now, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's, ooh, yeah. I'm gonna wake. My goal this year is to just kind of not get over anxious about making sure I see everything right away, because there's the onslaught, and you feel like, fuck, I got this, and this. And it may take you out of a movie if, you know, you're in a bad mood because something fucked up, you know, right before you get into theater. So just trying to be careful for that. You and I talked, I'm in the summer or the spring break. It's kind of championship time for my pool league, and we unfortunately didn't make playoffs. So I have some free time on Thursdays, and you know, Thursday night is opening movie night, so I might find myself spending my money that way, taking in a lot more stuff. So,
Well, but, exactly what you're talking
about.
It'll
be nice.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
No, you're good.
But I was going to say, sort of exactly what you're talking about with getting overloaded with things. That has happened to me with television completely. And I wanted to avoid it, but it's just not possible. Like, so there are some shows that I want to wait for the season to be done and then do the whole season. There are other shows that I'm ignoring until the full run is complete. you know, because I'd rather just get it all at once. But there are some that I have started and I'm interested in and I want to keep up with, right? Like, I find it happening with... Well, actually, let me phrase it this way. So, I have right now Westworld, Atlanta, the Season 4 remix of Arrested Development. I'm working my way through Archer. I'm still on Season 1. There's a second season of Handmaid's Tale. Legion, I'm still a couple episodes behind on. What else? The David Letterman show, I'm a couple episodes behind. Crashing, I didn't even touch Season 2, so that might just be permanently on the docket. Inside Number 9, which was a show that Nate was suggesting, I really like. I'm only a couple episodes into the first season there. It's just this onslaught, and I don't know how to manage it, honestly. Like, I have no fucking clue how to get through this shit, you know? And it becomes this question of, like, how much time do I want to invest in a given week to just watching shit, you know? It's getting real complicated for me. It's a very first world problem to have, of course, but still.
It is. Personally, I pick and choose. Like, how many of these shows do you watch with Meg? All of them?
Just Westworld.
Okay. Then you're in a much better situation. What I typically do is I'll wait like 2 or 3 weeks for shows that I would prefer to watch weekly, but just know I don't have the time. Because I want, you know, I'm in the middle of a game or something, I'll just give it 2-3 weeks and then pick a Saturday where I say, fuck it. This is a day that I'm watching shit. Like, this is all I'm doing all day long. I'm watching these 3 episodes of this, these 3 episodes of this, right. These 3 episodes of this. And you're all caught up and you feel like you got a good dose of all those shows.
Right.
It's something I've, not to segue too far, but it's something I've realized going through Infinity Gauntlet, which we'll get to a little bit later. I need the finished product. I've talked about this before, but even in like book format, like I can't read comics week to week or month to month. Like it doesn't work for me. I need a bigger dose of it to feel satisfied.
And that's precisely why I never read them when I was a kid, you know? And that's why I came to the Batman graphic novels later in life, because they were contained stories. And it was the whole story right there, you know?
Yeah. It is. It's a very first world problem to have, but being fans and somewhat rabid fans of this medium or these mediums, it sucks.
Right.
I mean, I have 620 games installed on my Xbox right now.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
And it's especially crazy too because. Oh, I didn't even mention the shows that I actually got through this week. Okay, so on top of all the other ones that I mentioned, I'm still watching Trust, which I like. Silicon Valley, Barry. What else is in here? I feel like I'm missing something. Maybe that's it. So all that shit, right? And it becomes like a quantifiable chunk of time every week.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not even including the shit that I actually want to watch that I haven't gotten to yet. The Americans is ending this year. Never seen The Americans. I've heard nothing but good things about that show. National Geographic has a show called Genius. First season was about Albert Einstein. Second season's about Pablo Picasso. Really want to watch that. Brockmire. I want to watch Brockmire. I haven't started it. I can't fucking fit it in, man. You know, like there's just Into the Badlands. I've heard that show has fantastic fucking kung fu action throughout, like every episode. Can't get to it, you know? It's just. There's too much. There's just too much. And then you have a game like God of War come along that's so good. And it's like so much time invested to play that and, you know, focus on it and get through. And it's just like, fuck, man. This is just never going to stop. This docket's never going to stop, dude.
What is it? Is it really just come down to the flashing lights? Because if you look at it from the perspective of before this like technological boom, I would say like the 90s when gaming especially got huge. I mean, did people freak out this way about books?
I don't know.
Like,
man.
There's too many, like, because that was your only escape. And yes, there are millions of fantastically written books, but it's not, I don't want to digest it as much as I do any other medium for some reason. And I was thinking about this again, reading Infinity Gauntlet. People give you shit about reading a fucking comic book or a graphic novel. Motherfucker, instead of having to come up with the descriptive fucking words, which can lead to verbose fucking writing, Jar Jar Martin, I'm looking at you. You got a fucking picture laid out in front of you with the dialogue there. It basically does the job for you. I'm okay with that. Like, that's the point. You're just being pretentious with words and being a dick.
Yeah, maybe. But, I think there's two sides to that for sure. But yeah, I've heard that argument before. I think that argument's gone away more as time's gone on, though.
Yes, and they've realized how awesome they actually are.
All that a comic book is a storyboard for a movie. So,
yeah.
You know, but yeah, there's just, it's such an overwhelming thing. It's weird. It's a weird relationship that I feel like I have with media now, where, you know, obviously I work, do a lot of site shit in my spare time, and then try to fit this stuff in where I can. But, you know, taking your time to do one thing definitely sacrifices something else. Like yesterday's a good example, right? So I had the day off, had an appointment in the morning, but then the day was kind of mine. So I came home. I was going to plan on, going for my walk and then coming back and finishing up God of War 3 and getting a couple of these shows in. But then, like, it's so nice outside. And, yeah, I have allergies, but I'll fucking deal with it at a certain point, you know? So I decided to go and get my niece and spent the afternoon with her. And that was a better time. So, like...
Right.
Yeah, it's just time management, man. Just being an adult, I guess. So.
It is, and one of the things... So, going back to media really quick, what do you... If you... I guess it's going to vary because it's all going to depend on mood, but do you find yourself leaning either direction when it comes to catching up on current shit or catching up on older, I know because I'm a fan of this, I should have watched, read, listened to this?
Okay, so that's a whole nother dynamic, right? Because, so...
Because you're trying to play catch up now. You found this love. There's all this shit coming, blasting at you in the face immediately. And it also has a backlog of 9 million years.
So there's stuff that, I mean, all of us have different interests, right? So, like, for me, I know a bunch of people were fifing over Cobra Kai, right? To me, that's an automatic, I don't give a shit. I don't care about Karate Kid. I don't care about that. So I don't like it. I don't not like it. It's not on my radar. So I don't have to worry about that, right? So for me, there's some stuff that I can just put to the side and say, yeah, I either know what that is or I don't have any interest, you know, there's nothing, there's no shame in that. So I try to fit in things that maybe I missed or maybe I wanted to see and never got to. You know, good example is I just watched The Greatest Showman a couple nights ago. Great music, not a great movie. I love the soundtrack. Absolutely love it. Love you, Jackman. I'm not going to fucking feel bad about being a fan of Hugh Jackman and whatever he wants to fucking do, you know? Had a good time with that movie, but I had to fit that in. So that means that I didn't see Atlanta this week. I didn't see, you know, like five other shows or whatever to make that happen. A couple weeks ago, I was on the binge cast. I watched Blowout for the first time since I probably saw it the first, since my first viewing years ago. And that was awesome, and I really enjoyed watching that. But again, like, that put me behind in a couple other shows, so I'm behind that week. It's a trade-off, you know? But I do feel like, with older stuff, I definitely don't approach it until I'm ready for it, you know? Because I think that people make that mistake sometimes, too, where they'll try to watch something, and they're either not in the right mood, or... They haven't maybe arrived at it organically, you know? Someone else has kind of told them to watch something and it's not,
Right.
It's not the time to watch it, maybe, you know, or like when I saw Blade Runner when I was probably too young to see it and didn't really understand it. You know, now I really like it, but that's probably a prime example. Actually, Fargo's another one. I hated Fargo the first time I saw it. Now it's one of my favorite Coen Brothers movies. Stuff
That's
like
where
that.
I'm at,
Yeah.
which is why I got to revisit.
Yeah. So, I don't know. There's an ebb and flow to it for sure. But we'll, I don't know. That's enough bitching. Bitching too much. What?
I don't necessarily think we're bitching. We're just talking about, you know, problems that rich, that you know, the rich first world has, right?
Problems of the modern
you know
movie fan. So.
Yeah. Speaking of fucking not feeling like first world, I was reading about all the like awesome energy, solar and wind, and it's like all the other countries are doing it better than we are, man. You gotta get better at this shit, folks.
Dude, this is funny that you say this. Had a conversation about this yesterday. So, town near me, the town council for the town is vehemently against having a wind farm, okay? So what this one guy did, guy who owns a bunch of restaurants nearby, I believe he's a restaurateur, but millionaire, okay? The town wouldn't let him put in a development for a wind farm. So what he did is he said, oh, okay, well, according to the town's bylaws, I can do whatever I want on my property. So he put one in his backyard, okay? Now, it's a big fucking, you know, it's a gigantic fucking turbine.
Yeah, sure.
And the town's arguments at it being a problem, there's actually one valid argument and one ridiculous argument. The valid argument is that people who have cochlear implants, deaf people, there's an immense amount of static electricity within a certain square mile radius of those. So there's a concern there, and I totally understand that. That being said, the town council's argument against having a wind farm within their jurisdiction is that it is an eyesore and would be unappealing to prospective new home buyers in the town. Fucking ridiculous. If I was moving somewhere and I saw they had a wind farm, I would want to be there more, personally.
Yeah.
As a prospective home buyer.
They don't want you to be the prospective home buyer. They're not thinking about you. They're thinking about the old people.
Exactly.
Old people need to go away.
They need to not have the power that they think they have. That's what it
yes.
is.
Yes.
But that's such an uninformed and uneducated and stupid fucking argument. Like,
I personally find wind farms fucking relaxing. There is one south on 55 when you're going from Chicago to St. Louis, and I see it and I just want to stare at it, because when you have that many wind turbines all spinning in this, they're not necessarily uniform in placement of the blade, but the uniform of the speed, there's just something so calm about that. I don't know, that's just me. But and they also provide a renewable fucking energy, so what the fuck.
There are a lot of solutions, man. There's the hydro-powered turbines too. Those are pretty interesting. And that's, you'd be using real estate that nobody else is doing anything with, you know? Yeah, I don't know. I'd love for there to be a more alternative energy, but it's not happening right now, so.
Instead, we have to look to Bob Ross and his, I love the muted, it's not a crisp painting. It's got that blur to it. It's fucking awesome.
The way that he captured the moonlight in that wave breaking in the center of the painting is pretty impressive.
Yes.
He's
and the
got
way
like
he's creating the form and shape in the waves.
Yeah, he's got like a perfect seafoam green just kind of shining right through it there. That's
Jesus.
Very impressive.
Oh my God.
So Bob's whole approach to painting is, you know, I mean, we've all heard the quotes, there are no mistakes, just happy accidents, right?
Right.
Do you have any hobbies that you can apply that to? In your own life? I'm trying to think. I don't think I have anything like that.
Hobby in life where that would apply. No.
I mean...
like, I'm... and here's the thing. So, when it comes to creation, the things that I prefer to do have a rigid squareness to them.
Sure.
You know, a hard right angles, basically. And so I can't have this kind of style. I wouldn't be very, you know, what would they call it back in the day where it's just, I don't know, out of the paint outside the lines type shit. Couldn't do it. Like, I can't paint well, in my opinion, because it would just look, this would all be squared off. Mm-hmm. Except maybe the clouds, because I know how to paint, you know.
Sure.
But.
Kind of the same way, man. I mean.
And if you fuck that up, you're either too big or it's not going to fit, you know.
Right. I'm trying to think, but the only thing that comes close, and even this is kind of a loose comparison, I guess this podcast is kind of like that, right?
Yeah, I would accept that and agree with it and use that also as my answer.
There you go. I just justified the creation of this podcast after 2 fucking years.
All mistakes, just happy accidents. Dude, the fucking green and yellow he's got coming with the lighting is amazing.
It's impressive.
I don't even know how he just added it so quickly. And he's going to go ahead and ruin it by turning it and taking the tape off.
Oh, boy. Oh, Jesus.
Shut up, Meg.
Fucking A.
So, anything else of importance or inquiry you were looking to discuss today?
The only other thing I might mention, and this is more just site shit, but as you hear this podcast, if you haven't visited bingemedia.net, you may want to. It probably looks a little different than it used to. That is because this weekend we have been working through the changeover to the new site. A couple little bugs here and there. We are working with the developer on that. But I think the overall look is a little bit cleaner, a little bit more professional. I think it's a step up. We'll see what people think.
I agree wholeheartedly with that sentiment. I was quite blown away when I saw the change. It's a long time coming. I'm glad it's happened.
Yep.
And I hope everyone likes it. And tell your friends.
Yeah, and the great thing about that too is that happened because of Patreon donations. So it took a while to get to this point, but really just the confidence of the listener base contributing to the site helped that happen. So thank you to everybody who contributed.
Thanks. You guys, no, don't do it, Bob. Don't do it.
Fuck. I mean, at least he's not going to add a tree, right? Oh, no. Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
It doesn't look
like... No, he's just signing it and calling it done. Nope, he said he's going to sign it and call it done. So,
okay.
We're good.
Okay. Bob, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and I shall be healed.
It still looks fucking amazing.
Yeah, inside the circle. Looks great. It's just a little awkward. It's a little awkward, but you know what?
I would love for him to have done one where he kept it on, and then in that situation made... It almost adds another level, because you could make that the frame and just paint the frame.
Yeah.
And you'd still have the picture contained in there, but then you can build something around it. It's still gorgeous.
It's not for me to say, man. It's not for us to judge. We just live in this world, okay? It's Bob's world. We just visit from time to time. So
This is very true.
All right, man. Well, pretty good stuff, as always. As for site shit, make sure if you're on Instagram, you're following us at Binge Media Net. Lollapalooza announcements forthcoming, so keep an ear to your podcast RSS feed for that. And yeah, plenty more coming from the site. Aftertaste, we've got the John Wick Aftertaste going. Myself, Alex, and GC, episode 2 will be airing next week. Sportscast will be back, I believe, with TM and PJ. TM went solo this week. He got through it, did a pretty good job, so good job, TM. Bingecast will be coming, and some other stuff. So, all right, Cupcake, you got anything else?
I do. How many fucking football games do you have, and how many of these are you going to ever rewatch?
Well, you'd be surprised. So,
okay, fair enough.
All right, I will. I think for the both of us, I say happy painting and God bless.
You've been listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network at BingeMedia.net. Support the show by donating on Patreon at Patreon.com/BingeMedia. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Buy some merch at BingeMedia.net/shop. Subscribe to our newsletter at BingeMedia.net/newsletter. And don't forget,
I didn't stop giving handjobs because I wasn't good at it. I stopped giving handjobs because I was the best at it.